struggling to even get out of bed this morning. So we thought it was in the best interest if he didn't come and try and preach. So here I am going to preach for you this morning. I'm going to give the message that he's prepared. I've read it twice. So I'm feeling pretty comfortable, pretty confident in the moment here. But today's message, I actually kind of lucked out a little bit because this is a really simple message. And it's entitled One Thing. And this message really is just about focusing on one thing. And so just to get started, you know, I hope everybody had a great Christmas. I had an awesome Christmas. This was like the first ever Christmas where I woke up in my own bed and did my own thing. There was no travel involved, no going to somebody else's house. I just was like in my pajamas all day long. It was awesome. It was really, I showered, but I put on clean pajamas after I showered. So, you know, we had an awesome Christmas, and now it's like, man, 2014, here it is, right? And New Year's always feel like they sneak up on me a little bit. I don't know how. They happen on the same day every year, but I feel like it just sneaks up on me. Like, I'm not ready for it to be 2014. I'm not ready to write 2014 on everything, you know? And being that this is a safe place, I can kind of admit this to you a little bit. I'm glad 2013 is over. I feel like 2013 was kind of a rough year in general. A lot of kind of bad stuff is going on in 2013. And so I'm ready for 2013 to be over. It was a rough year in a lot of ways. And so I'm excited for 2014 to start. Because 2014 represents a fresh start. It represents an opportunity to start again, to try again. And so, you know, just as kind of a shameless plug here, next Sunday we're going to start a series called Time of Your Life. And this is like our New Year series, okay? And so you're going to want to be here for those messages so you can get your year started off right. But I think that this message is a good starting place for us. So today we're going to talk about one thing. And I would encourage you this morning to really just kind of dig in and to allow God to speak to you this morning. And don't just like listen to what I'm saying, but really think about how this directly affects your life. And, you know, one thing that we really try hard at Venice Church to do is to have messages that mean something for your life. Have messages that mean something for your life today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year. And so as we go through this message, I really hope that that's obvious. I really hope that that's clear for you. We're really just trying to bring some application to your life, something that you can do to further yourself in your walk with Christ. And I really hope that this sticks today, what we're going to talk about. And one way that I think we can guarantee that what we're going to talk about today will stick is I'm going to ask you to do something with this information, this talk that we're going to have right now. I'm going to ask you to share it with somebody else. And I know sharing is not fun. Sharing does not always feel safe. But I'm going to ask you this morning if you would be willing to share what we're going to talk about today. And it could be with a family member, your spouse, your kids, your friends. I know a lot of the small groups aren't in session right now for the new year yet, but maybe you're going to reach out to somebody in your small group and share with them. Maybe you'll wait till you go back to small group and share with your small group. But I'm going to encourage you today that whatever one thing you get from this today, just take it and share it with somebody. Take it and give it to somebody else for two reasons. Number one, because if God's going to give you something today, there's a good chance he's going to want you to share that, because that's just how he works, right? He wants you to share. He wants you to be a part of other people's lives, to give them what he's given you. And the second reason is this. It's going to build in a little bit of accountability for you. So whatever your one thing is today, I'm going to encourage you, before we even start, think about this with respect to, I'm going to share this with somebody. I'm going to create a relationship between me and somebody else where this is a shared understanding. And I think if we can do that, it's going to really help this one thing become a big thing and an important thing in our lives. And the other thing, just to preface this morning, today would be an easy day to feel like there's so much going on, right? The pastor's not here, the children's pastor's here. I'm struggling to not think about the kids upstairs because, you know, I had to pull somebody in last second to help up there. You know, it's an easy day to be distracted. But I would ask that you would just allow God to speak to you, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, and just really get one thing this morning. So We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 43 this morning. And Isaiah is a really interesting book of the Bible. A lot of people love this book of the Bible because there's prophecy that pertains directly to Jesus. And there's just some really interesting and cool things that go on in this book of the Bible. But this morning we're going to read just two verses from the book of Isaiah. And what we're going to get here is we're going to get some promises. We're going to get a list of beautiful promises in this chapter. But in these specific verses, we're going to get a couple just like really interesting things that God is going to say to the people. So starting in Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says this, "But forget all that." So I'm just going to stop right there. God has just finished reminding the people of something. God has just finished reminding the people all that he's done for them. Right? He's kind of going through the scrapbook of his work with the people of Israel. And he says, look at all the things I have done. Look at all the power I've shown you. Look at all the ways that I've preserved you. Look at all the ways that I've taken care of you. And this is not only a reminder of the things he has done by saying, but forget all that. He's saying, don't hold on to that stuff. I want you, all this cool stuff I've done, I want you to put that in the back of your mind. Okay, because I need to tell you something else. He says, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. So God here, he reminds him all the stuff he's done, and he says, now I want you to forget all of that. Because that's nothing compared to what I'm about to do. All the amazing things that you heard about growing up as a child, that you've told your children about, don't even think about those anymore, because I'm about to blow you away in a whole new way. And the interesting thing is he says, I've already begun. Can't you see it? And see, I think today God could speak to some of us and he could say, I have this new thing for you. I know that I've been with you in the past and we can see all these things that I've done for you, but I want you to kind of put that on the back burner right now and I want you to think about this new thing. I'm gonna show you something even greater. And some of us might be facing something right now, and you don't know how you're going to get through it. You know, and a lot of times in life, the path is treacherous. And it's hard to see where it's going to end. It's hard to see how there's going to be resolution. But what God is really saying here is, he's like, but I could see the end of the road. And all the stuff that I've done before, all the ways that I've made your path straight before, are nothing compared to the way I'm about to make your path straight now. And so God is saying to us, I'm going to do a new thing in your life. I'm going to do something new in you and for you. And so, you know, that makes me think, right? New years, the whole deal. It makes me think, okay, well, when I think about something new for the new year, you know, I think of like the classic resolutions, right? My resolution every year is to lose that last 5 pounds, you know, because that's all I need to lose is that last five. People get at me all the time, like making sure I'm eating because, you know, all I need is really that last five to get knocked off. So every year I'm like, I'm just going to knock out that last five, you know? And so a lot of us make these decisions like this, you know, I'm going to get in the gym. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to make sure I only work my 40 hours. Yeah, right. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm eating healthy. I'm going to make sure I'm going to the grocery store so I'm not spending all my money at restaurants. You know, we make all these choices, all these resolutions. And then by the end of January, 40% of our resolutions are already over. Over, like not stumbling a little bit, just completely over. 40% of them. 40% of us can't even make it a whole month with this new thing. And that's me. Because I'll say on, what is it? Is it Wednesday, right? Wednesday, I'll say, I'm going to eat better. I don't even know when it is. Wednesday, I'm going to eat better. It's today, January 1st. I'm going to do this. And on Sunday of next week, I'm going to be watching football and eating garbage. So I'm going to make it like 4 days. 40% of people only make it a month, right? And so like all the yoga pants that get bought, right? All the new running shoes, right? The stocked fridge is going to go bad. By the end of January, all these things are going to happen. And then this is the one that really boggles me right here. By Valentine's Day, 75% of the resolutions in America will be over. So in 6 weeks, you jump from 40% to 75%. So that means 25% of America is going beyond that six-week mark to create these new habits in their life, right? These new things that are supposed to be good for them. That's a really low percentage. That's a fail, right? That's not even close to passing. And so it just kind of makes me wonder, why is that? Why is this the case? Why are these numbers what they are? Why are they so high? And I don't have all the answers. I could tell you why it fails for me, because I enjoy eating. But I can't tell you why it fails for 75% of people within the first 6 weeks. But there is something that I do believe about resolutions. I think there is a blanket statement I can make here that we can agree upon, and that's this. Many of us have good intentions, right? We all have good intentions. We all have the intention of doing something new that is good for us, that is good for our family. But here's the hard part. But we don't have God intentions. So many of us have good intentions, but we don't have God intentions. And that's a little bit of a Jesus juke, I admit. I kind of put the bait out there, and then when you grabbed onto it and said you agree, I kind of pulled you in a little bit there. But it's very true. We have good intentions, but we don't have God intentions. And there's a huge difference in those two things. And there's a big difference between good intentions and God intentions. And there's some really good stuff we want to accomplish in 2014. I really believe that trying to be healthy, exercising, being with your family, those are all good things. Those are all good intention things. But it would be better if we focused on God intentions for the new year, as opposed to just those good intentions. And maybe we need to move beyond something that we want to do for ourselves and have God speak to us and have God tell us something that he wants us to do with him. And it's difficult because we don't always know what God wants. Sometimes it can be hard to figure out what God wants from us. And so we need him to show us. We need him to show us what new things he wants for us in the new year. And we need to ask God to show us. And if we can get rid of the idea of having good intentions for ourselves, we can have some God intentions that are focused on what he wants. And when God gives birth to something, when God brings something about, it always follows through. And I think today we need to ask ourselves four questions. And out of these four questions, I think we can all find just one thing, one God intention thing that we can hold on to for this year. And I really want you to keep this in mind. One thing, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for myself. That's what I'm looking for all of you. Just one thing out of these four questions. And I want you to think about it like this, because one thing doesn't seem like a whole lot, but if you do one thing that sticks for 10 years in a row, you have 10 one things. You have 10 spiritual disciplines. You have 10 passions. You have 10 things that God has taught you that are a part of your life on a daily basis. And so let's ask these four one thing questions to each other here. Question number one is this. In your prayer time in the new year, what one thing do you desire from God? In your prayer time in the new year, what one thing do you desire from God? I think for a lot of us, like the first thing that pops into your head when you hear a question like that is like end world hunger. Like something like kind of crazy like that, or new sports car. Right? Like those are kind of like the two extremes of things that a lot of times people think about. If God would give you one thing you really wanted, what would it be? And so for a lot of us, you know, we kind of either go like, you know, very, very spiritual, like I want everyone to be saved, or we go very, very selfish and say, you know, I want a Ferrari, right? And so that's not really what I'm talking about today. I don't want to think about it in those terms. I want to think about it in the terms of if there's one thing you've been praying for, if there's one thing that you desire from God that only he could give you, something meaningful, what is that? What is that one thing? What would it be? In Psalm 27:4, it says this, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." So here we have this verse written by David, and over his lifetime, David asked God for a lot of stuff, right? He asked God for many things, and he needed many things from God throughout his life. And, you know, he is described in the scripture as a man after God's own heart. And when it came down to it, he asked God for one thing, right? In this verse, he asked God to be with him and that he could be with God. If I could just be with God in his house. Right? And so David's real desire here is, I want to be with God. I want to be in his presence. I want to feel him with me. I want to experience his goodness. And I need to know that he is with me. I need to know he's always here. And David understood better than most that there are good times and there are bad times. And at all times, you need God. So what one thing do you desire of God today? You know, maybe it's a friend, a loved one who's far from God that you've been praying for, and you want them to know Jesus. And maybe your prayer is for God to use you to speak the truth to them. Right? Maybe your prayer is, I want to love this person in the way that Christ loves them so they could see that Christ loves them. You know, maybe for some of us, it's addiction. You know, I'm trying to get past this thing and I can't quite get my hands around it. Right? God, I need you to deliver me. God, I need you to be here with me. I need you to give me the strength. I need your spirit. Maybe it's, you know, relationships, right? Like maybe it's coworkers. That's what it is for me. I struggle with my coworkers so deeply. Not at the church. I work at a school Monday through Friday, but I struggle with them so deeply because our ideologies are so different about so many things, and we oftentimes can kind of get into it about things. And that's a struggle for me is like, I know that I need to love them, but it's so much easier to not love them. Maybe it's your marriage, right? Maybe it's you need healing for your marriage. Maybe things aren't going the way that you thought they would. And I think one thing that is so important about all of this is that the prayer is really about God change me. It's not about God change them, God change the situation, God change these people. It's about God change me. And when God changes you, when God changes your heart, the way that you feel, the way that you think, that's when you're going to be able to speak to people about Christ. That's when you're going to be able to love people who push your buttons. God, change me. You know, maybe for you, it's that you need to slow down. Maybe life feels frantic. Maybe life feels hectic. And you feel like you're missing out on things. You're missing out on relationships, maybe your family, your kids. Maybe you feel like you're missing out on God. I've been there before. And the one thing that you need is just God's presence and peace in your life to help you slow down, to help you let go of some of the things that you're doing. One thing. What is one thing that you would have God do in your life? Question number two. When it comes to your spiritual life and when it comes to your relationship with God, what is missing? And to be honest, I kind of feel like this is the cop-out question. At least for me personally, it's the cop-out question because my first thing would be like, I just need to read my Bible more. And that's kind of like an easy, like, you don't have to be that reflective. You can kind of just be like, that's like, you know, when little kids answer Jesus in Sunday school, you know? It's like, I just need to pray more often. I just need to make sure I'm at church on Sunday. And so I think that this question, you really got to get a little bit deeper to kind of get something out of this. Okay, so what is one thing that's missing from your relationship to God? And I think it's, this passage that we're going to read is kind of put perspective on this question. So in Mark chapter 10, we have this encounter with Jesus and this rich man, right? And the rich man comes to him and he says, I just want to know what I have to do to have eternal life. I just want to know. That's all I want to know. And so Jesus says, well, obey the commandments. Okay, so they start going down this list, right? Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't lie on people. And the guy's like, I don't do any of that stuff. I don't do any of that. And so it seems like he's got it all together, right? Like this guy is following all the commands. And he's looking Jesus right in the face and saying to him, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't murder. And so this is how Jesus responds to him in verse 21. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So the first thing we have to notice is it makes a point to say Jesus felt genuine love for this man. Jesus is not messing with this guy, okay? Jesus genuinely loves this man. He feels like he genuinely wants to answer this man's question about eternal life. And so this is what he tells him. Go sell all your possessions and come and follow me. Because Jesus wants him to let go of the only thing stopping him from fully following Christ. Jesus said there's one thing, just one thing. And for this guy, it was his stuff. It was his wealth, his accumulation, right? That he didn't want to let go of. And he went away sad because he couldn't let it go. God specifically showed him one thing, right? One thing that was hindering him from being in good relationship to God. One thing that was standing between him and eternal life. And he wasn't willing to give it up. And so that's what I'm really talking about this morning when I say, like, you know, what's one thing that is missing from your relationship to God? It's more about what's one thing that is like a stumbling block for your relationship to God? What's one thing that's stopping you from having true intimacy with God? And you know, it really comes down to this idea of obedience, right? What's something God has asked you to do or not do that you just can't let go of, that you just hold on to? And you know, maybe it is, not to downplay this, maybe it is reading the Bible and praying, right? Maybe you don't do it at all, and you know you need to, right? Especially spending time in prayer throughout your day when these situations come on you and you need that help. Maybe it's tithing, maybe it's going to a small group, maybe it's serving at the church. There are so many things that God has asked us to do that we just don't do. There are so many things that God has called us to that are so simple that we just don't do. And they stop us from being able to grow in our relationship. They stop us from being able to grow in our relationship to God and to other believers. And they even stop us from being able to grow in relationship with people who don't even care about God. So what is that one thing that's our stumbling block? Question number three. What one thing do you need to let go? This is a hard one for me. This is a tough one. What is something that you are holding on to? Maybe it's a hurt or anger or something that happened. But there's this guy, Paul, who wrote a big portion of the New Testament. He wrote a lot of the letters of the New Testament. And he wrote to the church at Philippi. And he kind of is talking about in this book how he wants to know Christ. And he wanted to move from knowing about Christ to really like knowing him, to really having that relationship knowledge of him. And he even goes so far to say that he wants to suffer like Christ. And so in Philippians 3:13 through 14, he says this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." So here he is, right? He's like, look, I'm not at the end of my race. I have not achieved my life goal, but I am focusing on this one thing. Okay? I'm going to forget the past, and I'm going to look to the future. And Paul had so many things in his past worth holding on to, right? The fact that he grew up Jewish and he grew up raised under the law in the strictest sense, and that was his life, that's something that we would want to hold on to. The battle he had with the early church over circumcision, over Gentiles being part of the church, that's something we would want to hold on to. The day-to-day struggle of being on his missionary journeys that he went on, that's something we would want to hold on to. But he says here, I'm forgetting it. I'm letting it go. I mean, this guy stood and held coats while people got stoned to death. This guy went to people's houses and pulled them out of their house and put them in jail and had them put to death. That's something that we would want to hold on to. Right? That's an experience that we would want to keep close to us. But he's saying, forget the past. You got to forget about it. You got to let it go. So that way you can move on to do what God would have you to do in this moment. And I think he would be the first to tell you, yeah, that experience is useful because you can tell people where you've been and where you're going, but you can't hold on to it. You can't let your past make decisions in your present. You can't let your past make decisions for your future. You have to let your past be your past and let your present be with God. And it's just so easy for us, though, to hold on to our past. It's just so easy for us to think back to that one time. You know, like, I feel like a lot of us have trust issues. I know that that's something that I'm constantly working on, trust issues. Because that one time, that guy burned me. That girl burned me. That one time at work, this one person burned me. And now I can't even look at them because I'm holding on to it. And that affects me so deeply as a person. It takes away my ability to just love people. Because I get to a place when I hold on to things where I just assume the worst of people. And so Paul's like, you gotta let it go and look to the future. Yeah, you got burned. It's okay. You need to forgive. You need to move on so that God can use you now, so that God can use you going forward. Don't forget it happened, but forgive. And you know what? For some of us, it even is disappointment in ourselves. And I think that's even harder to overcome. Feeling like I've made choices and decisions that were wrong, and they're still affecting me today. They're still making life hard on me today. But we got to say, you know what, God, that happened. It has changed who I am today, but I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to let you have it, and I'm just going to move forward with what you want me to do. What's one thing that you need to let go of? Question number 4. What one promise do you need to claim? What promise of God do you need to own? You know, growing up in San Diego and then, you know, moving up here, like the whole Baptist church thing, all my grandpa's friends were like Baptist preachers and, you know, they would come and visit us or we would meet them. And all these guys are like very, you know, strong people. We'll just say that they're strong people. And, you know, they would always shy away from this idea of like being sensational or, you know, being liberal in any way, shape, or form. And so a lot of times as a kid, it was kind of like, well, those people who claim God's promises, they're a little bit off. There's something a little bit wrong with them, you know? And so there's like this over-conservative happening with some of the people that I grew up around. And so they were like almost afraid to claim God's promises because they didn't want to be too liberal, right? But why not, right? You know, like, God promised it. Why wouldn't I claim it for myself? And when I say claim it, I don't mean weird things like, Jesus, you said you'd take care of me. There's going to be a parking spot right up front right now. And then there's a parking spot, right? That's, like, not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, although sometimes I feel like it happens, like, when you go to Costco and you're like, I just need to be able to park right away, Jesus. And then it's, like, there, and you're like, oh, right? You have that God moment, right? So, but what I'm really talking about is, like, what are the things that God said are true about himself and about his relationship to you? Those are the kind of promises that I'm talking about. And I think a good example of this is again, going back to David, his story, his humble beginnings, right? Because you have this guy, Samuel, who shows up at David's parents' house, knowing that God is going to show him which of these sons is going to be the next king of Israel. And so Samuel shows up, and there's all these boys lined up, right? And they're all like big strapping young men. They're talented, they're smart, they're good looking, And he just goes down the line every time God's like, nope, 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 nope. Until they get to the smallest, scrawniest one in the group, the one who was out in the field with the sheep. And God's like, that's the one. And so when you kind of look at this account in 1 Samuel 16, as Samuel is going down the line, he becomes confused. Like, God, surely this must be the brother that you want. This must be the son that you want. Look at him. And this is what God says in him to respond. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And see, we wouldn't classify this as a promise, but that's a promise. God doesn't care about the way you look on the outside. He's concerned with your heart. And he just made a promise in that statement that he's not going to judge you for your outward appearance. He's going to judge you for your heart. And so, you know, David didn't become king right away, right? Like, he finally gets the oil poured on his head. Samuel gives in and is like, fine, I'll anoint the scrawny one. He does it, and there's this understanding, you will be the next king. But it doesn't happen right away. He had to wait for the promise to come true. And the crazy thing about the story is, as David is waiting for the promise to come true, the guy who's already king tries to murder him on numerous occasions. And he ends up living in the wilderness with a pack of mercenaries. And so, you know, David had to hold on to a promise that he did not see fulfilled for many years. Right? And so, like, even this promise here, the Lord doesn't look at your outward appearance, he looks at your heart. You might not feel that promise fulfilled until you die and you stand before him and he says, I see your heart. I see that Christ's blood covers you. But is it still a promise that we can hold? Yeah. Can it still have meaning for us today? Yeah. When you don't feel vindicated for doing the right thing, this is the promise you remember. God sees my heart right now. And so, you know, we look at David, and he's waiting for this promise to come true. And he writes this in Psalm 56, 9 through 10. He says, my enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. What an awesome thing for us to think about. God is on the throne and he is on my side. And we can be here today knowing that God has something for each one of us and that we just have to wait for the right time. We have to allow the promise to sustain us. And maybe your one thing today is that you are going to claim that you're going to hold on to the promises of God. And there are so many promises that God has made to us that are so awesome. God shows his power in our weakness. God promises to meet our needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. God promises that we will not be tempted above what we can bear. God promises to forgive all of our sins. God promises to work all things for good for those who love him. God promises to never leave us. God promises to help in our times of trouble. God promises to give strength to the weary. He promises to guide us and to give us direction. He promises peace beyond our comprehension. God promises the power to defeat Satan. He promises that nothing will separate us from his love. God promises that we can overcome through Christ Jesus. God promises eternal life through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And that's just like scratching the surface of things that God has promised us. And there's not one situation in my life that I could come up with that is not absolved in those promises. And so I just have to get a promise to hold on to and to just wait, knowing that God's promise will come true. You know, there's lots of stuff I don't know, partly because I'm still pretty young. And also because I'm just not God. But there is some stuff that I do know. And one of them is that God is with me and God is with each one of his children. and that if you're not his child, he still wants so badly to be with you through relationship with his son. And so this morning, I just ask that you would try and think of one thing. What's one thing that God wants for you this year? What's one desire from God? What's one desire that you have that God could fulfill for you? What's one thing that you lack? What's one thing that you need to let go of? What's a promise that you need to claim? And I would encourage you as we start 2014 this week that you not hold on to the past, but that you look forward in expectation and just focus in on what your one thing is for 2014. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much just for everything that you do. God, just for sustaining us every day, taking care of all of our needs. Father, we couldn't be here without you. We couldn't do this without you. And as we start this new year, God, I just pray that you would show each of us that one thing. Show each of us one thing that you want us to go after this year. One thing that you want us to change this year. One thing that you want to partner with us in this year. One promise that you want us to hold on to this year. And God, as you reveal yourself to us, I just pray that we would show our thankfulness by sharing just the wonderful things that you do in and through us. That we would share for accountability as well, God. God, just be with us as we go our separate ways, and we hope to see each other again soon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys. Have a great weekend.